I've got a time piece up here, and it's 12:58. So if I welcome you all, it doesn't exactly get the rallying call to us all, but we begin. For those, I think everybody's been here. For those that don't realise, the time goes a little bell at 5 minutes, again at 9. And at 10 minutes, if all your time has been taken by speaking, there's no time for questions from the floor. So I welcome Jack Shallard to the table. Submission number 1691, page 214. Good afternoon, Jack. Well,
excuse me, JP, can you want that up? It's this only one. Yes, I can begin anyway. You can catch up. They're just headings. Yes, I'm opposed to this, and I would like to just refer back to Mr. Brewster's submission, where I think he summed it up in three words at the beginning: inappropriate, undemocratic, and unnecessary, and there are alternatives. I'd add that. There are many reasons why I suggest this proposal is simply wrong. And I can touch on some of those. Firstly, the scheme of the Act envisages democratic election. And the proposal is not consistent with that. The word democratic surely must mean something, and it doesn't mean installed without election. And the balance of the Act deals with how local government might address the diversity of communities, including provisions relating to the treaty. The provisions are there, the process is there, and it is about the process. The proposal does not fit with the provisions of Schedule 7, Clause 14 of the Act. This clearly anticipates that people making decisions, people acting as a member of the local authority, are elected people. The wording is this: a person may not act as a member of a local authority until that person has, at a meeting of the local authority, following the election of that person, made an oral declaration in the form set out. And a written version of that declaration has been attested. Council has, of course, taken legal advice on this, and I think it was fairly, I would say, smart in not getting that in writing till a late stage, where seemingly it might have been forced to. The proposal introduces conflicts with the declarations that has been made by members under Schedule 7, Clause 14. Elected members are required to represent the community as a whole, faithfully and impartially. They are not elected to represent a particular group or faction, albeit we've heard some very factionalised statements by some of the existing members in recent months, going back to December and since, particularly then. I don't need to go through the declaration. The legislation envisages two types of committee: governance and advisory. It's perfectly reasonable for council to have two types of committee, and they can reasonably be differentiated as governance and advisory. It is a bit confusing to use the term standing, because that's actually got a different meaning. And it's actually been muddied over time. The point being that governance means being in a position to actually make decisions that carry through and become legislated by council. Reference was made earlier to audit committees being a case in point, but audit committees are advisory committees. Their job is to advise and to mentor. It is not to make decisions. And audit committees, ideally, in my view, and I see quite a bit of this, should have two external people. But they're there because of particular expertise, not because of some other reason. Committees with governance delegations are essentially an extension of council, so should be limited to elected members. And your two main committees include all members of council, and the tradition here is that what is decided there is seldom redebated at council. They are making the governance decisions that are essentially rubber stamped by council. But I just wonder whether there's an opportunity here while we're talking about delegations, because to look at another option, and that might be, if in fact the Tiara Committee being an advisory committee of council isn't the solution, I believe it is, but if it isn't, what about a similar committee, an advisory committee to the chief executive, which would mean that that's at an operational level that could give the advice before reports get to council? That would save muddying the waters. That is an option worth considering, and that would be perfectly legitimate. If enacted, the proposal will divide the community on an ongoing basis. These committees get dissolved every 3 years. And so you're opening the door, if you proceed with this, to an imbroglio every 3 years. That's the danger you've got. And that's not healthy. That's not healthy for the community now or at any time in the future. And it's certainly not going to be healthy if this gets reversed in 18 months' time. Which means, why not make an election issue and wait till then? That's only 18 months down the track, and you could easily find an interim solution, a form of Tiarawa advisory group. The proposal's got downsides for Māori. Rotorua has a long and proud history of relationships, and I don't think anyone wants to see that destroyed. They haven't been perfect, but there is absolutely no merit in regurgitating history when in actual fact we're talking about now and the future. We're actually looking for solutions, not for something to be disgruntled about. So the danger here is that, I think it needs to be understood that apart from Māori who voted, for the many Māori people who've stood on this council and been elected on merit over the years, they've actually been put there by non-Māori, because that has been the weight of the voting. I don't want to see that destroyed. The Treaty of Waitangi is not an issue. We spend far too much time reinterpreting the treaty and reading into it something that isn't necessarily there. We're very good at reinterpreting history to suit ourselves. But that's not the issue here, because the principles are to be dealt with. The proposal is a carefully thought out proposal, and there are certain good points and merits in it, and they need to be taken into account. But the way to do that, in my view, is through a properly constituted Te Aroha Advisory Committee. The committee in its first few years was very successful. Well, it was successful. It did a good job. And my understanding is that for many years, the council adopted almost everything, if not all bar one thing, that the committee proposed. It fell apart internally later on. But there is that is what needs healing. If there is something wrong, it needs fixing in the Te Aroha Committee and in Council, both of those. And one unfortunate incident has happened and got Council a whipping a year or two ago is not a reason to escalate the issue to a governance level. I'm just not sure of the timing there. We've more time. The proposal is going to be difficult for the two representatives. It's going to be difficult because it's very hard to serve two masters. And those members will have a board standing behind them. And that's not going to make it easy, because that board is not always going to be of one opinion itself, but it's just not going to make it easy, because their duty is to, if they're voting, their duty is to represent on a fair and unbiased basis. And that really precludes representing a group at the governance level. I think it is really important to search for a solution. I've suggested one option that I think might be worth considering, because I think it could be very practical. A couple more points, I think. I'm really concerned. I'm spending a lot of time outside Rotorua at the moment, but when I'm back here, I'm really concerned at the loss of public confidence. We need that restored. And the way to restore it is to not go ahead now. Look, it's traditional when you've got an equal vote. I'm not talking about an equal vote here, because I don't know the voting. But when you've got an equal, the voting in the community. When you have an equal vote, the traditional thing is to hold the status quo. And my suggestion is that this is a case for status quo, because the change has got trauma all over it. I really would hate to see the situation of the public as a whole supporting Māori at the elections. But when they see a form of double dipping, that's a serious danger. Probably got a few more things, but I'll leave it at that.
Afternoon, Jack. Nice to see you. You elaborated on the distinction between advisory and governance committees. How do you see the Lakes Community Board, who have the opportunity to come and sit with us at the two existing committees, standing committees? They don't have a vote, but they can contribute, and they are allowed to stay as part of our confidential matters these days. Do you see that as a form of double dipping? Because they only represent about 2,000 people in the Lakes area. I just wondered where you felt they fitted.
Go off. Okay. I think there is a difference in that that form of representation is for a particular area and is legislated for. This other is covered by provisions in the Act which deal with ensuring you've got processes in place. And I think the good thing in all of this is that there is an opportunity to really look for improved processes, but those must go to federated farmers, to retailers, to developers, and to everyone else as well.
Councillor Sturt.
Thank you, Jack, for your submission. One of the highlights of your submission was that you said there's a loss of public confidence. Do you not agree that there is a loss of Te Arawa confidence in having a meaningful relationship with this council?
There might well be, but I think that that comes back to the way this has been actually handled. And I think it comes back to how it's handled in the future. There is no doubt that Te Arawa and, incidentally, other Māori in the district should have the ability to be heard and make representation and be part of process. And no question about that. You're in a position where you've got a loss of confidence either way, but that's been brought on by the process and how it's been handled. And now's the time. I mean, maybe the answer, I don't know the way out of that other than time.
Is there a better way, in your view, than a special consultative process, which is what we're doing now?
I think the issue went back before that, where entrenched views were announced or came through to the community, you had no option but to go to a public consultation once it had got to a certain stage. And I would have to say that I really struggle with this idea of issuing us an idea in principle, passing something in principle, or approving something in principle. And then the word "in principle" is like saying, we actually agree with this and we want to do it anyway. So damage was done some time ago, and really the question now is how to get the best solution going forward. No use regurgitating history, no use going back there, because that's not going to help anything. The real issue is that this council is in a great area, has a great community, has a great future, and it needs to get a great act together. And now's the time to do it.
We have no time.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
Councillor Maxwell, but it'll put others behind. Yep.
Thank you, but I did have my hand up earlier. Kia ora, Jack. I was very interested in your comment about us representing the community as a whole. So the question I have is, in the many years that you've been here as our financial treasurer at council, do you agree that some non-Māori councillors have not supported Māori very well, e.g. the Rotomā scheme and the Taniwha Springs scheme? You were part of our council then. Cost us millions.
I don't know about the I don't know the detail of the Rotowiri scheme, but I suspect that knowledge of the scheme was out in the community anyway, and people could have come to you long before they did. I suspect. I don't know that, because I wasn't following it. But if you, to your first part of your question, I would say that I think possibly some people have been unhelpful, but I think most have actually bent over backwards to accommodate and to work with the view of the Māori elected members. I think they've been heard extremely well by the other members.
Thank you, Jack, and thank you for coming.
Thank you.
And now we ask Rawiri Te Kōwhai for submitters. This is submission number 825 on page 9.
tihei mauri ora ki te whai au ki te o marama. Ae tēni ki wātonu ka whātoru nā te tōku nā kau ki wa tātou nei kaihanga. E ki ake nei te kōrero nāna nei ihanga i wairua te anā mea katoa mai te toi anarangi hiki ho ki a papatuanuko. Tairawa mai ki a tātou nei ira tangata ki te whai au ki te o marama. Ano ko tātou e tātou nei tātou e raro te tuanui o tēnei o nā whare nei e tēnei ra. E mihi ake nei ki a kūtau. Ano reira tēnā kūtau, tēnā kūtau. A tēnā kuta katoa. Ai tēni ki wātonu, ka rere tōku wairua ka tōku na maunga tū mai rā ko ngōngō taha. Nā ka piki aki rā ki te tihi, ki te tuahu o nā tua. Ana ki reira, ka titiro whakawaho ki te taimoana tui tuhatahi. Ka hāngai tonu tōku haere ka tōku tupuna korangi te aorere. Nā e whakapau nā kau ka titiro hiho rā, ki nā moana tokotoru e te paina o oku tūpuna ihinga a kahumata momoe. Tuana au te ururu whenu e te ara o hene hopu. Piki ana au te mauna whakapana ko pūtawa ki ko Ngāti Awa ko te manawa ko te arawa. Nā ka whakawhiti atu rā ki te tahatika ki Ionia ki te kūkūtanga nā waka mātātua te arawa. Nā ka huri mai ano tōku na waka te arawa ka uki roto ia maki tū. Ki te kūrae o te hua tamata kapua. Nau e tau ai tōku na waka i te awa i aki aki. Mai te awa i aki aki, ana ki te awa te atua, ana ko te kūkūtanga nā waka, a mā tātua te arau. A mai ko nā, ki rangi taiki, ana ko te tini o awa. A mai te tini o awa ka puta atu ki nā kāhui maunga. Ana ko tūwhare toa ki te tonga, ko tūwhare toa te ao pauri. Nā ka rere tōku wairua ki tōku na maunga, ko titi raupinga. E ki anei warātau nei kōrero, ana ko te pūtaki o te maunga, ana ko te pātu watawata o tōku tūpuna a tia. Mai ko nā, ka hai pū ki te kākāroa pātātere, ana ko te pai o Raukawa. Mai te pai o Raukawa, ka turo tika ki Awanui, te ingoa tahito o Tauranga Moana. Mai Awanui ka hoki atu rā ki Maki Tū, ki te kūrae o te hua tamata kapua. E ki anei te kōrero, ko te arawa te waka, Maki Tū te ehu, ko rotorua te takare, ka taupō te kaia te waka. Anei rā tātou e tēni ki wātonu, e roto i te takari e te waka, e raro e taupua nei tātou e raro te tuanui o tēnei o nā whare nei, ana ki a hau nei te whare rai ana o te kaunihira, o nā āpiha, o te kāwanatana, o te krauna. Anō reira, tēnā kūtau, tēnā kūtau, a tēnā kūta katoa. I'm going to do my kōrero in English. And I'm just going to grab a seat. But I also have an esteemed Te Arawa Kaumātua, Koro Te Ariki Morihu. He would like to give a little kōrero just at the end of mine. Thank you. I just got to figure it out. Firstly, I'd like to pay homage to you, our Mayor of Rotorua, Stevie, tēnā koe. And also to you, the councillors of Rotorua District Council, tēnā koutou. My name is Rauri Tumihau te Kōwhai. I am a descendant of the Kōwhai Tarahina on my grandfather's side of Ngāti Te Roro Tarangi. On my grandmother's side, I am a descendant of Aporo Te Hika Iraia that comes from Ngāti Hurunga Tarangi, who were part of the 47 chiefs that signed the Fenton Agreement on the 25th day of November 1880 in the Mutunga Ohene Te Kākara that we know it as, but to you it's called Ohenamutu. inside the illustrious ancestral house, Tamata Kapua. Not only was there a signing, there was a gifting of 4,500 acres of land to build the township that we see today. And with that, we were promised free health care, free education, and we didn't have to pay any rates. But hey, as we all know, that never happened. A year later, the government, through legislation, they put an act, what they call the Thermal Springs District Act. This is where we lost control of our guardianship, or our kaitiakitanga, of our lands, of our springs, and of our waterways. We also had leased lands, but we never got any of the leased money. And those times were hard for our people spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. I see that today, the after effects of those times of assimilation on our people today. We are high in the statistics. We're full of jails. We're full of mental institutions. We are high in suicide. We are also high in domestic violence and child abuse, just to name a few. We are slowly getting back up on our feet. We are quite lucky now that we have entities that are worth millions of dollars now. The timing is right to come together and form a partnership between the people of the land and Rotorua District Council. And yes, this is going to allude to what Koro Ariki is going to talk about. And yes, there is a need to develop more effective partnership between the people of the land. And this was a decision in 2012 in the Environmental Court. They recognised that there was a need for Rotorua District Council to improve iwi consultation. And that is why we're here today. So I just want to give a little proverb. Ko tō raurau, ko tōku raurau, kia ora e tātou katoa. Anō reira, tēnā koutou, a tēnā koutou katoa. Now I'm going to hand it over to our rangatira.
Tēnā koe, worship. Tēnā koe, tēnā koutou, ngā councillors. Tēnā koutou. My talk is only going to be short. I support the Māori Council Committee. I'm here to support the Māori Committee for the simple reason that we ended up in court, in the Environment Court, for the sewage that the Rotorua District Council were going to put up on Rotomā. Ngāti Pikiao and Ngāti Makino. I'm here to speak on behalf of Ngāti Makino. We oppose that, and we won our case. We all know the results of how that must have been for the council. If we had a Maori committee, a Maori standing committee, they could have come and spoken with us, and we may have resolved something. But they didn't. After the court case, things turned ugly outside in the foyer. up to the time when one of our women had to stand between our presenter and your council worker. That wasn't nice. That was not nice. We talk about being one people. We weren't one people that day, not in that courtroom. So here I am today to support the establishment of a Māori committee. Tēnā tātou katoa.
Thank you, Te Ariki. The time is up, so we don't have time to ask for questions, but thank you for both coming here today. And now we ask Mariah Pōmana. Good morning. And this is submission number 938 on page 98.
Tēnā koutou katoa. He mihi nui ki ngā kaunihira o Rotorua. He mihi nui ki te iwi o Te Aroha. Thank you, Mayor Steve Chadwick. Thank you, councillors, for the opportunity to speak today. My name is Mariah Pōmana, and I am descended from Ngāti Whakaui, Tū Wharetoa, Ngāti Raukawa, and Ngāti Porou. I am married with three children. I have worked in the social sector for nearly 10 years now, and my career began as a women's advocate working within the family violence sector. I am now currently a youth worker, and I am passionate about young people and their well-being. And I'm here today with Maylene Meruiti, my work colleague. To begin with, I support the Te Aroha Partnership. I believe this embodies the true partnership outlined in the Te Tiriti o Waitangi. True partnership has been a long-held aspiration for Māori since the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi in 1840. Fairness, justice and equality. I have heard these terms, fairness, justice and equality, used to speak against the proposed Te Aroha Partnership model, and I want to explore those terms from a personal perspective and a statistical perspective. Ko waiaho, who am I? Who am I to become? I was fortunate to grow up in a bicultural home. My mother is Pākehā and my father is Māori. The question of who I was raised when I stepped foot inside my first classroom. I could fit into both worlds, as you probably could tell. But one world was more accessible than the other. However, it was my experience in the classroom that shaped my decision to identify as a Māori woman. It was also the classroom that taught me about fairness, justice and equality. Pākehā children had no doubt that they belonged, had rights. Their questions and opinions were always first and considered first. They occupied the front of the classroom knowing that this environment belonged to them and they were comfortable within it. Māori children, particularly Māori young women, sat at the back of the classroom. Even when the teacher made blatant racist comments, the brown sisters at the back never spoke up or tried to defend themselves. The silence was deafening. It was that silence that opened my eyes to inequality, unfairness, and injustice. I also started to wonder, how had Māori people got into such a state that we could not stand up for ourselves from racist comments or treatment, hiding at the back, hanging our heads in shame and embarrassment, silence. This inequality and injustice led me to become a youth worker and advocate, and social inclusion and social participation is my passion. Messages outside of the classroom went much better. In the 1980s, popular media continued its long love affair with racial tagging, labelling, stereotyping and association by coincidence. Māori people were seen as uneducated, lazy criminals on the dole, not dissimilar to the messages today. In the 1980s, our culture was not very strong then, as the cultural renaissance had only happened in 1975. Those messages in and outside of the classroom had led to a process phrase internalisation. This is the acceptance of norms and values established by a peoples or group of peoples. The dominant messages had entered our hearts and minds to such a state that we were unable to answer or defend ourselves. Silence. Her story, history. Was it fair and just when one race colonises another land and confiscates millions of hectares with militant force? Now you just have to look at that map of New Zealand, and that's the land confiscations. And that's in 1939. That's the last map that I've got on there. Was it fair and just when my grandmother was whipped at school for speaking Māori? Did fairness, justice and equality reign when my koro returned from World War II and the Pākehā soldiers were allocated farms and lands and the Māori soldiers were given nothing? Was there fairness and justice when my father's generation began to internalise the dominant cultural messages and remembered the injustices afforded his parents, grandparents and great-grandparents? Was there justice and equality when the brown sisters in my generation were ignored and ashamed to be Māori, their own language not valued in the school system? And is there fairness, justice and equality today? Ask yourselves this when we look at the statistics of Māori people today. What stands out for me when we look at those statistics is, where is the evidence that Māori people are privileged and have advantage in Aotearoa as tangata whenua? This is the only place we exist. We cannot return to another land and visit our heritage when we feel like it. I work with some of the most vulnerable children and young people in Rotorua. To dictate to them one person, one vote message means you are blind to the realities facing Māori today, living day to day, hand to mouth, head just above water. It assumes we are all on a level playing field. In actual fact, I just read an article about this in the Rotorua Daily Post on Saturday. Niels Rasmussen was speaking about being the principal of Sunset Primary for 15 years. And he said he has worked there and noticed the influence of poverty on those children at primary school. In actual fact, for me, the Te Aroha Partnership model promotes equity, a place to sit at the table of power created by the dominant culture. On the screen is a model by Yuri Bronfenbrenner, a well-known Russian sociologist. This demonstrates how decisions made at the macro level, the macro system is local government, impacts on the individual. When I led the march against synthetics, we called for a change to the law. We did not focus on the individual young person. The Te Aroha Partnership is the same thing. If you seek to promote inclusion and equity and Indigenous rights at the table that the dominant culture created, then this will trickle down to the individual, to children and young people. They will see that the people of Rotorua actually care about what they have to say. It will provide a clear pathway for their voices to be heard, an example of strong leadership and role models. For those who have Māori children and grandchildren, would you not hope for a better future where both sides have a genuine share of power and the right to determine the future for their own people, not dictated by one race to another about who they can or cannot be? If the Te Aroha Partnership goes ahead, I believe Rotorua will become not only leaders in our nation, but also in the world. Therefore, I implore you to not let fear seep into your hearts and minds. Think of the future. Ensure the voices of the tangata whenua, the people of this land, Māori children, young people and their families are forever heard, not silenced. This is the true vision of Aotearoa that the chiefs rangatira foresaw and enshrined in law. Te Tiriti o Waitangi. Kia ora.
Thank you, Mariah.
We do have time for a question. Councillor Maxwell.
Kia ora, Mariah. Thank you for your very good presentation. Just a quick question. You touched on the Treaty of Waitangi. Do you think that gives us more than what Māori are called just another interest group?
I think we have a... From the signing of the treaty, our rangatira, our chiefs, believed that we would have a true partnership, and I believe that's why they signed the Treaty of Waitangi, to ensure that our people's voices would always be heard. I think they felt and they could see that change would come where we weren't going to be the majority anymore.
Thank you, Mariah. Your time is...
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do put my hand up. Thank you. Mariah, thank you for your presentation this afternoon. In the submissions, we've heard quite a number of people say that the Te Arawa partnership proposal is divisive, mostly from older people, I have to say. So you as a young mum, with your bringing up your children, have you, with talking to your friends and family, have you heard that come up often?
Yes, I've heard it often that when Māori people ask for a sharing of power, we're being divisive, but what we're asking for is to be included. We're asking for social justice, and this, for me, is what Te Arawa Partnership represents, and that's why I'm here.
And I'm sure your parents would be proud of you. Thank you, Mariah.
Kia ora.
We do ask the audience not to clap, please, because it just distracts from the next submitter coming to the table. Thank you. Now we ask John Gifford to the table. His submission is number 1187 on page 131. Good afternoon, John.
Your Worship, the Mayor, councillors, committee members, thank you for the opportunity to present the submission in person. I've been following the development of the partnership with Te Arawa very closely over the last 5 months or so, as I see it as an important part for the future development of Rotorua and the district. My name is John Gifford. I have a very strong interest in sustainability and sustainable development within the region and the district. And I also have a very strong interest in social change processes, and I guess it's from that perspective that I'm participating here today. My submission is in support of the proposed partnership model with Te Arawa, as hopefully this will provide the basis for further developing substantially improved engagement, involvement and participation by a much larger part of our community. The main focus of my submission is to emphasise just how important it is for all of us to be aware of potential biases that could potentially exist, and to ensure that we apply a lens that focuses on reducing and eliminating disparities and inequalities across our governance and decision-making processes. Quite often, such biases can exist without us really being aware that they are there and the effects that they may have on various groups in our community and society, particular groups and minorities. It is interesting to note that in one of the world's greatest democracies, the USA, though there may be some varying opinion on that, of course, some recent research has indicated that people of colour have on average a wealth that is one-tenth that compared to non-coloured people, and it has demonstrated that ethnicity does count. If we can address such biases, then collectively we'll create a community with greater opportunity for all of us in which to turn will translate into enhanced community well-being and resilience. There are many examples where an important step in significant social and economic change has started with a concerted effort on addressing these types of biases and disparities. One way to encourage communities to collaborate and to take collective action for improving social, environmental, and economic outcomes is to focus on developing a common goal or agenda that many people within our community can take ownership of. If this can be backed up by individuals, groups and organisations, obviously Council and Te Arawa being important ones, clearly identifying how they can contribute to reaching that goal through undertaking mutually reinforcing activities, then the goal becomes much more achievable. High degrees of collectivity in our community can greatly assist us all to more effectively compete economically in global markets and a more environmentally sustainable manner. This approach also allows us to more effectively align the use of resources, natural resources, labour, and financial to more efficiently achieve our goals. The approach of having a common agenda and alignment of mutually reinforcing activities is referred to as collective impact. I would encourage you all to consider this type of process for bringing our community closer together and to become more tightly aligned. The proposed partnership model, in my view, is a move in the right direction to ensure enhanced equity and equality within our governance and decision-making processes. Furthermore, it potentially addresses possible biases, or at least provides the opportunity for such issues to be identified and constructively considered. I also believe it strengthens the opportunity for using collective impact as a means to achieve a more positive long-term outcome for the well-being of us all in the Rotorua District. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to hearing the outcome of this consultative process and the decisions of Council.
Thank you, John. Do we have time for questions? Do we have any question? No? Thank you, John. And now...
Te ngā ka, i te tuki te kaupapa i rungi te pai. O reira, tēnā koutou, waku rangatira, tēnā koutou katoa. I ask my question to myself over again. It's about why would you, Rotorua District Council, not want a joint partnership with Tarawa? I ask myself, what is Tarawa made up of? I have a simple example. Te Pukeroa Rua Whatua Ngāti Whakaue, as an example, have always had a vision, have always had a mission statement, and have always had a goal, and many goals to follow. In their progressive development, Ngāti Whakaue reached an autonomous position by way of operation, negotiations, strategy, policies, and finance, alongside many other of our hapu iwi, Confederated Hapu Tribes of Te Arawa. The Rotorua Township is surrounded by tribal lands, as we're all aware. So it would be in your interest, the Rotorua District Councillors, to forge a partnership with the Te Arawa and the Confederation of Tribes for the growth, development, expansion and the consultation to the benefit of all citizens within our Rotorua District Council and Te Arawa. One like mentioned, our Korowa Papa, a Te Wairi, Te Ariki. No consultation, no progress. No partnership, no progress. Rotorua District Council need Te Arawa, in my mind. Although we as Māori trust boards and business organisations have proven beyond doubt that we have the capability, infrastructure and the economic financial base to a competitor in the open market, not only here in New Zealand, throughout the world, I would like now to give you an insight on a little of our Māori tikanga values, principles, and a little of our methodology. We as Māori do not vote for our chiefs as a chief. It is a natural function as a Māori to take up your role and responsibility to your people when the time is right. So to form a partnership with Rotorua District Council and Iwi o Tarawa is fitting to the pride and dignity of Māori. To have a representative who will take up a chiefly role and responsibility on behalf of Māori, for Māori, so that our voice will be heard. We are a humble and patient people by nature. Therefore, we reserve our right to speak out because there is always someone in a position to carry our view, our voice. This is a basic fundamental practice of tikanga. A speaker will always be chosen through lineage, through whakapapa, or through delegation to carry the voice and view of the whānau, of the hapū, and of the iwi. The methodology is very simple, and the way in which we live as Māori is by rotation. Ko hinga he tete kura, ko hara mai he tete kura. When one of our leaders fall, another will rise and take their place. The strategy of the Māori vision for our future is based on 7 future generational cycle. Throughout the generations, we as Māori have an instinct to protect, to preserve our culture, our environment, our land, our people, and our way of being. The Treaty of Waitangi Partnership should be a natural way in which New Zealand should be structured. Therefore, the Te Arawa Partnership with the Rotorua District Council should be a natural extension of the way we live. Māori are a living people, a being people. A bicultural moral partnership, which has been displayed before us, with Te Arawa of Confederated Tribes, is the way forward. Te Arawa represent 40% of the population being Māori, as you are all aware. Te Arawa need to have the same weight and full consideration on this council with our issues, our cultural principles and values. At present, there is a lack of confidence in council in not addressing Māori concerns. Total support and implementation of the Te Arawa proposal is sought. Morita. Tēnā rā tātai.
Thank you, Leo. Are you happy to answer some questions?
Yes.
Yep. Do we have any questions? Councillor Rokawato.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tēnā koe, Leo. Leo, the Te Arawa Partnership Plan was put together over 12 months with full consultation with Te Arawa. Now we see other plans coming to the fore, telling Te Arawa that this is what we think is good for you. Has any individual or other organisations come to you with something that they believe might suit Te Arawa better?
My answer to that would be, you're trying to fit a circle in a square, or trying to fit a culture or a non-culture around a culture that doesn't fit. There is no such other. We have consultation. We have our mana kōrero. We have our mana whenua. We have our mana tangata that takes care of all our issues. And that is our standing.
Leo, no more questions? That's your time is up. Thank you.
Kia ora matata.
And now we ask Ian McLean, submitter 1808 for councillors. That's on page 238. Good afternoon, Ian.
Good afternoon, Your Worship and councillors, and greetings, tēnā koutou katoa. Can I first find out how to drive this thing? Congratulations first to Te Aroa for being modest in your proposal. Congratulations to the council in a positive response, and congratulations to the Pro-Democracy Society for your support of Māori wards. This submission will deal with the issue, a proposed solution, and a way ahead. The issue is that RDC projects have been compromised by poor relationship with Te Aroa. Not just the East Rotuiti Rotomaa, but four projects vital to Rotorua have been significantly compromised by relationships. The issue is that a major community, the largest community, based on Māori culture, has no direct representation. And the issue is that the future of Rotorua is in the hands of Te Aroa, with so many of the youth of Rotorua being from Te Aroa, and so much land both in the city and around and the forests being owned by Te Aroa. The proposed model, the question was raised, is it okay to appoint some committee members in a democracy? My response is this: other systems have appointments. You will no doubt recognise the faces. You should do. Are appointed members okay? The Pro-Democracy Society itself, if I may say very gently, in its constitution has the power to co-opt to the committee. That's appointment. So I contend that the argument against having some appointed members is not a strong argument. Despite that, I would respect the viewpoint of those who argue against appointment. The real weakness of the proposed model, in my view, is that there's no direct Te Aroa reps at the top table, at this table here. No direct representatives. We need a Rotorua solution, not an imported one from Westminster. Hello.
No clapping, please.
Something's gone wrong with that.
We probably all agree, but no clapping.
Nor one from there, nor one from here, nor one from there. That one comes back. Nor one from here, nor that one, nor that one, nor this fella's. His solution. We need a solution which is from Rotorua. So my suggestion is the eventual solution is four wards. It's beyond the reference of our discussion today, Your Worship, but just to look forward as to how it might look as a package. Four wards based on real communities, not like the wards last time, supported by two community boards and the Te Aroa board. The four wards would be a Māori ward. It would be a city ward, an urban ward. It would be a lakes ward and a rural ward, each representing distinct communities. The potential seat allocation, based on those currently on the Māori roll and with 12 councillors, by my calculation, there would be seven from city, three from Te Aroa, one from lakes and one from rural. Looking